Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Samuel Tarly, go on.
Sam the Slayer. Another wildling lover, just like his friend Jon Snow. How's your lady love, Slayer?
Her name is Gilly. Brother Slint knows her quite well. They cowered together in the larder during the battle for the wall.
Lies!
A wildling girl, a baby, and Lord Janus. I found him there after the battle was over, in a puddle of his own making. Whilst Lord Janus was hiding with the women and children, Jon Snow was leading. Sir Alistair fought bravely, it is true. And when he was wounded, it was Jon who saved us. He took charge of the wall's defence. He killed the Magna of the Thens. He went north to deal with Mance Raider, knowing it almost certainly meant his own death. Before that, he led the mission to avenge Lord Commander Mormont. Mormont himself chose Jon to be his steward. He saw something in Jon, and now we've all seen it too. He may be young, but he's the commander we turned to when the night was darkest.
Hey, Throners, welcome to our podcast. I'm Mr. Blog.
And I'm Grace.
And I'm Karen.
And this is Game of Microphones, Episode 6. And you may notice a slight bit of a difference. Last week was Jason, Karen, and Grace. This week, it is I, Lord Cornelius of House Blog, who has usurped the throne from Jason of House Podcastica. And yeah, how you guys doing? It's great to be on the episode finally.
Yeah, Mr. Blog.
It was
Mr.
rough. Blog. It was rough last week listening to that episode thinking, oh man, I should so be on there. There's all that booty talk going on and I'm not there at all. And it bothered
me
so much.
There was a lot of booty talk.
There was. Yeah, and unfortunately,
like Jason said, you were there in spirit.
Absolutely. But in this episode, you know, we have no booty in this episode, no boobs. It was an episode where my kids came in and I actually said, no, you can go ahead and watch this. They go, but it's Game of Thrones. I'm like, no, it's okay. This one's fine.
Well, there was a beheading.
But you don't even
see it.
But
it was off screen.
It was off screen. You don't
even
see it.
Both the pigeon and the other beheading was pretty much off screen.
Yeah.
This, you know
not
what?
Too violent.
There were two. You're right. The pigeon was beheaded. The kid in the ex-slave in Meereen was beheaded. And then we saw some random dwarf's head.
Oh, that's true. Oh, there was a random head. And you got like a sword through a guy's throat. But, you know, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Why don't we go ahead and kick in with how you guys felt about the episode. Season 5, Episode 2, The House of Black and White. Karen, why don't we start with you? What do you give? What did you feel about this one?
Well, I actually gave it a 4.2 out of 5 severed dwarf heads. I loved it.
Fantastic.
I thought it was a really great episode, even better than the first one.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was nice to be back with some of my favorite characters, including Arya. But more about that later. How about you, Gracie Lou?
I thought it was great as well. I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, okay, you're not going to go with any rating thing.
I don't like to do ratings. It's just too hard for me.
Okay, well, this one, though, is kind of easy for me. I got to give it a 4.5. I don't know, golden dragons, perhaps? Flagons of wine. There we go. Flagons of Dornish gold. that is absolutely what I give this one. I thought this was a fantastic episode. I mean, almost to the point where I'm like, God, I wish this would have been the first episode of the season. But I understand the way that they do things with these shows. You know, the first few episodes are always a bit of a setup, a bit of a catch up with, hey, where's everybody been? How's everybody doing? And these are, like you just said, Karen, these are the people I was really excited to hear about, specifically Arya as well and Jon Snow. A lot of good stuff. You guys ready to go ahead and just kick into the top fives here?
Let's do it.
Fantastic. Let's see. Karen, Grace, who wants to take it first?
Go ahead, Karen.
Do it.
All right. So my number five, which actually I have to admit, these are 1 through 5 is actually out of order. So I'm just going to tell you the thing that I was most excited about seeing. And that was Arya and her introduction to the House of Black and White. Training to become a Jedi or whatever the heck is she's training for. So I loved it. And one of my favorite minor characters is Jaqen H'ghar.
Yeah.
And it was great seeing his face again, maybe more than anybody else. I love the faceless men. I'm so excited to see what's going to go on inside those black and white doors. So yeah, that really was the whole thing. I think I yelled and startled David, who was sitting there calmly. And I love that when she first came there and knocked on the door, she was refused and she was
Actually a bit confused by that, like why at first the kindly man, as he's known in the books, refused Arya entrance.
We'll get into the differences in our book talk section. By the way, I do want to remind everybody there will be plenty of spoilers in terms of season 5, episode 2, The House of Black and White. So if you have not watched the episode, oh my God, what are you doing listening to this? Run away and go watch the episode, then come back and then listen to it. We'll wait here, absolutely. But we will save any and all book talk discussion. Even the differences, Grace. Let's go ahead and just hold off, and that will just treat
this. I'm not saying it as a difference. I'm just saying
I was a little surprised too.
I can't even remember exactly what went down in the books, but I'm just confused as to why he turned her away.
I think he wanted to see what she was going to be up to. You know, if
playing left with out her mind
on,
a bit.
I think so. I think it was a little bit of a test, and you know, and also remember, a man is not Jaqen H'ghar,
right?
Just like a girl can soon not be Arya Stark. But I just wanted to remind all the listeners that avoid spoilers. We do have chapters. So when there's something you wanted to skip forward on, go to that. And when you get to Booktop, if you have not read the books, avoid what Grace and I are going to talk about. Just do it. Please. I mean, that was great. Actually, one of the things I was laughing about was as she got turned away by the kindly man, or Jaqen H'ghar, as we'll refer to him as. I was a little annoyed because she knocked on the black door and he said all that. And there was a part of me thinking, well, knock on the white door, see if he answers it, and then it'll be nice.
Right.
You know, there's like a difference in the two door colors, you know. Go ahead and do that. And it's funny, the first time I watched the episode, I didn't notice her tossing the coin into the river or ocean or whatever it is there, the bay, harbor.
The bay.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And I turned my head or something happened. I just didn't see it. So when... later on, when Jaqen H'ghar hands Arya the coin, I'm thinking, well, that's some fine trick he did. Not realizing, oh, that's not the trick at all that he did. He did something entirely cooler by just producing that. I thought that was really cool.
Or maybe there's just more than one coin that looks like that. And so, you know, he's just giving her some different one.
I don't think so. That was a very cool scene. And I mean, from the beginning to the end, it was almost a shame that they didn't end the episode with that, the bit of Arya. You know, they ended it with the dragon, I think, because it's like, ooh, dragons are cool. But it would have been really nice to have it bookended with Arya.
Did you notice, by the way, that she went into the black door?
Yes.
When she went in, finally, she went into the black door.
I'm guessing at this point the white door doesn't work.
You think that the white door is just for show and that everyone just goes in through the black door?
If she knocked on it, he would have been nice. Grace, what is your number five?
Okay, my number five is another buddy road trip. And on this one, I'm speaking of Jamie and Bron.
Yes.
Yes.
I've come to really enjoy these characters, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them together more. We got a little bit of that when Bron was teaching Jamie how to fight with his non-dominant hand.
Yeah.
So this is really cool for me, and I can't really imagine how their mission would turn out to be a successful one, just the two of them traipsing off over to Dorne, but I can't wait to see how it goes down.
Oh, I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing these two interact.
Bron is funny.
Hilarious. I mean, he does get one of the best lines of this episode with Jaime fucking Lannister, you know. Loved that. I was just like, oh my God, that's perfect. That is so Bron. And I love the way that he's just like ignoring Lawless. You know, she's talking, blah, blah, blah. Huh? What?
I think I'd be doing the same.
Oh God, no
but,
kidding.
But you know, he was nice about when he was talking about the older sister saying that, you know, she doesn't sound like she's a nice person. But then I get the feeling that maybe he was plotting her death already.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So when he was talking about what goes around comes around kind of thing.
He looked so disappointed when he found out that wasn't his castle.
He's going to get a better castle and a more comely bride, according to Jamie.
According to Jamie, yeah.
He has to get back from the mission first, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you help me...
I'm looking forward to that as well. Jamie and Bron, that will be an amazing road. I like the way you put that, a road trip.
Be a great road trip.
I'm really looking forward to that. Well, my number five, I'm going a little more into that conceptual land that we sometimes go into. Not a specific scene, but more what I felt to be the theme of this episode, which seemed to be that everybody, or at least most people, but everybody in this episode was really wrestling with their identity, who it is that they are. You know, we've got Arya. She's totally in this, and I'm going to try to avoid, you know, stepping on toes further on down the road here, but it's, you know, Arya at this point, she has to become no one. So she has to lose her identity. You know, Cersei is now just the queen mother. She's no longer really able to rule in the way that she's feeling that she's able to. Jon Snow, is he a bastard or is he a Stark or is he now Lord Commander? You know, where does he belong? What is Brienne's role at this point without having a real mission?
Yeah, she's striking out a lot.
She is. So, you know, what is there for her? Is she now going to have to figure? I mean, because she's always defined herself based on who she serves. Now she's going to have to figure out who the hell she is on her own, you know, as somebody else. Jamie and Bron, that same sort of thing. Bron, he just can't seem to just be a lord. You know, he's getting pulled into this one last time in a way. I'm getting too old for this shit. I'm waiting for that. Jamie, he can't be a father, even though he wants to be, you know.
Yeah.
Danny, what the hell's up with Danny? You know, is this a you know, is she going to be a just or a fair ruler? So who is she going to be? And then you get like the mother of all identity crises, Sansa. She's no longer a little girl. She's now playing the Game of Thrones. So this entire episode, I felt we got these series of identity crises, you know, which I thought were amazing. And going back to the Arya thing, since we already discussed this a little bit, I love the fact that her list that she wants dead is now so short.
It is short.
We're down like four people, I think, right?
Yeah, four people.
And one of them is actually probably already dead. I think she still has the mountain on the list.
Oh, she does still have the mountain on the list.
She still has the mountain on the list.
You know what? The mountain might not be dead.
That's what I said. Yeah. Qyburn was working on him, and Qyburn's a freak.
And now he's on the small council. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe he's on the small council because he did what no one else could do, which is keep the mountain alive.
Perhaps. We don't know on that yet.
No, so, we don't.
You know, her list has gotten shortened, but what it really got a kick at, and this goes into the Jaqen H'ghar, the thing before, you know, the first part of it where she says, but I have nowhere to go. You have everywhere to go.
Yes, I love that.
Which
line.
May be the most existential thing I think ever said in Game of Thrones.
You know, well, and he also said, no one... didn't he say something like, no one by that name is here?
Correct.
And what that could mean is that, as Jaqen H'ghar has said, you have to become no one.
Well, and mm-hmm. you already said what this group of people are. They are the faceless men.
Right. So he was saying no one is here. Literally, no one is here. These Correct. People aren't. Yeah, they're, it's not what you think.
There is nobody here
anymore.
With that name because they do not have that name.
God, that's so cool.
She has to learn to no longer be Arya Stark.
Which is maybe not a bad thing, because being Arya Stark, not so good. It really hasn't served her that well. It really hasn't. You know, she's had a messed up existence to this point. And so maybe letting Arya Stark go is not such a terrible thing for her.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous to hold that last name, that Stark name.
It is.
They are dwindling in numbers. This is true. Well, mm-hmm. that was mine. Everybody wrestling good. With their identity. Karen, what is your number four?
Okay. My number four is Cersei having a very bad, messed up day. Mm, and that was indeed. So fun to see. First, she gets the Cobragram, you know, the snake is the gift.
Now, I don't know if you recall
the Viper,
that the
Red
name.
Viper,
yeah, exactly. The Prince Oberyn, his name was he was known as the Red Viper in Dorne.
Right.
So that was a wonderful, you know, this viper with that message. That was yes. pretty badass. That was cool.
And I love how Jaime says to her, it's a message. And she looks at him like, no shit, it's a message. God. Yeah, she's so mean to Jaime these days. It's hilarious. Yeah, so she's having a bad day. She gets the Cobragram, and that can't be good. Then Jaime says, okay, I'm going to go to Dorne. I'm going to go and rescue our daughter. And she's like, one-handed guy is going to go and rescue. And, you know, then, of course, he goes to get Bronn. But still, she doesn't have him there to kick around anymore.
Gosh, then, she was so bitchy when she said that. That pissed me off, man. I'm like, really? You're going to say that to your brother, a.k.a. lover? You know, just that's mean.
Yeah.
He's handicapped now. You got to be nice to the disabled. Come on.
Yeah, well, but she blames him for Tywin's death. So.
Partially blames him.
And not just Tywin's death. Who was her firstborn son? What's his name?
You've already forgotten.
Joffrey?
Wonderful.
I've already forgotten Joffrey. Yes, that's how good I am with names. Yeah, she blames him for not being able to protect Joffrey, too. She threw that at him as well.
Oh, true.
Well, he was Kingsguard. Yeah.
Yep. So, and then she gets completely disrespected by Kevin Lannister, her uncle.
That was awesome.
During the small council meeting, which was great. So uncomfortable. such an awesome little small council meeting. And that's, you know, it's been a long time since she got smacked down so thoroughly in a council meeting, and not having her father around, that was a big deal. So now that Tywin is dead, things are not looking so great for Cersei. So I just loved her completely awful day.
Well, I got to say, though, in her awful day, she did at least have one minor victory, and that was how very well she puppeted Mace Tyrell.
Yeah,
exactly.
She did a remarkable job of pulling that little man's strings. It was like,
yes,
it's like, really, dude, you didn't just see what she just did? Oh, God, you're lame. Okay. All right. You know,
he's master of coin now.
Master of coin. He looks so pleased with himself. Oh,
master
of coin. That's wonderful. You know.
That's probably not just because the Tyrells are unbelievably wealthy and they really, really want the money. No,
of course not. But
nah.
But you know, Kevin, it is really nice to see Kevin stepping up and doing his part to put her in her place. I did love that line of, you are just the queen mother.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Not even though
Kevin gave Cersei a piece of his mind, she really still kind of has the power.
Sure.
You know, Kevin really couldn't do much about it, at least not at that point.
Yeah, cool. He's going back to Casterly Rock to sulk.
Yep, I agree.
Grace, what is your number four?
Okay, my number four is The Further Adventures of Brienne and Pod.
Yes!
I thought it was nice to see that even though Sansa didn't seem to want help from Brienne, and that Brienne didn't seem to be too let down by it. You know, it now seems like she's found her purpose again. And I love watching the fight scenes with Brienne as well. And she saved Podrick's bacon. Go, Brienne.
Yes.
And plus, the two of them just crack me up. Ready the horses. We only have one horse.
Yeah.
Find more.
That was a remarkably well done scene. I mean, from beginning to end, and you're right, those two together are not just hilarious, they're just adorable at the same time.
Yes.
But Brienne, the thing I love about Gwendolyn Christie and her performance as Brienne, I feel like she just commands attention. You know, and not just because of her size, but she is, in my very humble opinion, just one of the best actors in this show, that she conveys so much.
Yeah.
With that face of hers, there's something soulful and just sad about that face of hers that she comes across. So, I mean, the fact that she has to admit, yes, it was a shadow with the face of Stannis Baratheon, you know, that has got to, she knows how ridiculous that sounds.
That sounds crazy, but you've got to believe me.
But that's her honor, right? She is not going to lie about this, no matter how stupid it sounds. I love that she bent the knee to Sansa and explained herself away. And I hated hearing Littlefinger cut her down as much as he could.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Well, he's a master at what he does, you know, and that is being what he does, is being a dick. Yeah. granted, probably a small dick because he is called Littlefinger, but
that speaking was, of size, it was amazing to see them standing next to each other and the hilarious. Height difference. Wow.
Yes, she is.
But still, giant. Even though with that height difference, man, he was commanding the room.
No, yeah. He absolutely was. And I got to say, I'm loving the, shall we say, Sansa 2.0. You know, she is confident. Yes. She is strong. She is rocking the dark hair and that kick-ass necklace and that black dress. Sophie Turner she's looking good. I'm just going to say it. I think she's of age now, so I can actually say that without being too creepy. She's also like 5'10 or something. She's one of the tallest members of the entire cast, save Gwendolyn Christie. She's killing it. I mean, at one point I'm looking at it going, are you stoned? You look like you just got this weird affectation on her face.
Which is perfect because she would be kind of slightly checked out,
yep.
You know, and poor thing. But
no, so, poor thing. Nothing. She's playing the game now. That's the thing. Yes.
Right,
she has no issue. She's like, nope. I'm with Littlefinger. I think she is making her bed, not literally, with Littlefinger. And I think she's now understanding the real necessity of playing this game.
So Littlefinger alluded to a wedding. Whose wedding? A marriage proposal that was accepted.
Oh, for him.
For him? So who is he getting married to?
I forget. Grace, did you catch who it was?
He didn't say. He didn't say, and I'm not sure we're supposed to know.
He's not going to marry Sansa, though, right?
No, because he's pretending that she's his niece.
Yeah, that's right.
Or not pretending. I mean, she is technically his niece because of the fact that he married Lysa, but...
Right.
No, I mean, as much as I think he would love to, creep.
Well, and he didn't even say it was his own, so we really have no idea.
That's true.
We don't know.
That's right.
Contained there.
You're right.
So
you're right. Could
we'll,
be her.
We'll have to wait on that one, probably.
Could okay. be hers. Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
He's back on you, Mr. Blog.
Eric is fine. Whatever. Everybody knows my real name is Eric. It's not really Cornelius J. Blog, but we'll just get that out of there. Call me whatever you like. My number four, finally, meeting Prince Doran. And going to Dorne. I loved that scene. Now, I say Doran because that's the way I've always read it. I got a little thrown off when Cersei called him Doran. So I'm like, wait, Doran, Doran? What, they're going to go see Simon Le Bon and John Taylor? That's awesome. I can't wait to see them. I love Doran, Doran. No, Prince Doran. Doran, Doran. What? Let's settle on this. What are we going to call him?
What are you saying? What are you saying in your mind?
I always say Doran.
Oh.
Did you say confusing. Doran?
Well, if that's what they're going to call him on the show, I guess.
That's what Cersei called. They've had people called whatever, Duran, fine.
Well, it's Alexander Siddig, so.
Exactly.
We'll just call him that? No.
That's from Star Trek Deep Space Nine,
Deep Space
right?
Nine,
I think
yeah.
We have a particular letter or Facebook comment from
about that. Oh, did somebody say that?
Yes. Somebody who could not stay away from the show for one episode, Jason.
We're a bunch of Trekkies. We're not too too proud to admit it.
Oh, I never watched Deep Space Nine. I love the original series, and I love the Next Generation. I never got it. Sorry. Okay, this is not about Star Trek.
We digress.
Meeting Prince Duran, I thought was phenomenal. I love the fact that he was in his wheelchair, even though they did not go into any explanation as to why he is in a wheelchair. I love that Ilaria is just so vengeful and pissed off about this. And he had this cool, calculating demeanor that I thought was conveyed so well. That he just sat there looking straight ahead. He was completely nonplussed by anything that she was saying to him. And I just thought, what a wonderful foil to his brother.
Yeah.
Who was so full of passion. So
I think I just think, you know, it was a nice refreshing break from the constant bloodlust, you know?
Like,
we do not mutilate little girls for vengeance. Not here. Not
a
why.
A good policy.
I love that.
That's an excellent, excellent policy.
Good policy.
Well, and also what was great was, you know, in the previously on Game of Thrones, before the episode started, they made a very specific little thing where Oberyn was telling Cersei back in season 4, like, no, and Dorne, it's a wonderful place. You'll be able to spend time in the water gardens. We don't hurt little girls there.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was wonderful to see Duran really nailing that point home. We don't hurt little girls here. You know, this is a civilized place.
By the way, how cool did Dorne look?
Oh, very.
That's Seville, Spain, where they're filming. And I guess the gardens there, the Alhambra, I think. Is that right? And it looks so beautiful.
It really does. And it's, you know, Dorne is meant to be the southern lands. You know, a lot of spicy food. Everything is hot. You know, even the ladies, obviously. and I'm pretty sure we'll see more of those later on. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I was a little disappointed to not see Dorne show up in the opening credits. You know,
they didn't change it.
They showed the Aerie, but they didn't show Dorne. I was a little disappointed by that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next week they'll add it.
And I'm still upset at seeing the flayed man, the Bolton sigil on Winterfell.
Yeah. Looked for that.
I've been looking for it, but I couldn't spot it.
It's just
I
wrong.
I saw it this time.
It's wrong.
Oh.
Well, it's no longer on fire, so that's good, but
freaking Boltons.
Wrong sigil. Agreed. What did you guys think of the going to Dorne and finally meeting Duran?
I was delighted.
I loved it. Yeah, it was actually one of my highlights. And, you know, I was a little disappointed that we did not get to meet the Sand Snakes yet, though they were mentioned by Illyria Sand. But I want to meet them. Those are Prince Oberyn's daughters. Yeah, that was great to see Dorne because they've been talking about Dorne for several seasons. So we finally get to lay eyes on it.
Love it.
You know, and like we said, that Duran is a cool character.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're wrapping back around now. Karen, what's your number three?
So my number whatever, because three. I've completely lost my place, is Daenerys. I'm going to say we touched on this before, and I'm just going to reiterate that I am unbelievably disappointed at, well, not really disappointed, because she's very, very young and she's never been a queen before. So she's sort of been sheltered for a long, long time. And then she was sort of thrown into being a queen pretty fast. So leading people is a lot more difficult, evidently, than freeing them or conquering them or whatever. So, but it was unbelievably disappointing that the decision that she made to behead that former slave who, you know, pleaded with her, please, Misa, please, mother. And no, she went ahead and beheaded him anyway. It was really unbelievably sad and stupid. And now, of course, she's got a bunch of hissing former slaves who are pissed off and throwing rocks. And so that can't be good. Nothing good is going to happen in Meereen at this point, it seems to me. So I feel like she could have done a bunch of other things and maybe not pardoned him, but okay, here's your punishment. Banish him from the council. Do something. But really, beheading him right there in front of everybody, it was just a terrible move politically and terrible in a lot of other ways. So I'm sad about Daenerys in that way. But then at the very end, I was super stoked to see Drogon the dragon. Yeah. I thought it was amazing. We watched it twice. I actually went back and I'm like, David, go back. We got to see that again. And by
the
way, the
dragon looked phenomenal. It really
did. Dragon was unbelievable. Where are his siblings? Is he?
Well, they're still locked up.
They're still. And do you think he's like, where are my siblings? Why? No. What's going on here? How are you feeding them? It's terrible. And by the way, how do you tell the gender of a dragon? Just wondering.
Well, one.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, one has a big old dragon cock, and the other ones don't. No, I don't know how that. You know, the interesting thing with Dany's decision is before it actually happened, I kind of agreed with her. You know, and this is where when I brought this up earlier is about the identity. About, you know, is she going to be a just ruler or a fair ruler? What she did was the just thing to do. You know, she had laid this law out. And I did like that line of hers, of theirs, when oh, what's his name? I have it here. The fellow who got his head lopped off. Mosador, yeah. You know, he said, you are the law. And she said, the law is the law. And there was a certain respect I had for that decision on her part. She made it very clear, don't do that. He's going to stand trial.
Right.
He cannot be murdered. He had fair warning. I don't even know what the hell this guy was even doing on her council necessarily. He had fair warning. Don't touch him. However, once she was standing there and everybody's pleading for mercy, the smart political thing would have been to say, I grant mercy. I am a wonderful ruler. I think that would have gone over much better politically.
Yes.
Yes, I'm guessing so. And it probably wasn't a wise choice to do a political beheading. I mean, a public beheading either.
No, yeah. I don't think so. I think that was a major misstep on her part. And I'm really looking forward to see how this is going to play out now. She has half of her population really pissed off.
Yes.
Because now, what is she if not their master? You know,
right.
Mosador, whatever his name is, he made quite the point with the Sons of the Harpy of saying, kill the masters.
Mm-hmm.
So, dicey proposition. That was a problem.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
a problem.
I was calling that Dany's learning curve. You know, she definitely has still a lot of learning to do. It's not an easy job there.
No, and one I don't wish on anybody necessarily.
Right.
But yeah, the dragon, that was awesome.
The dragon's so cool.
Really is.
And then, you know, we didn't stick around. She goes up to maybe touch him and say hi. It's been a while since she's seen him. And then he flies away. And who knows where? And what was that? Was it just a visit? Just a sign? Will he be back? It's kind of a mystery. It's very cool.
Yeah. I was expecting him to just blow out some big thing of fire as he's flying over the town, like, fuck you guys. You know, no, nothing like that. Grace, what is your number three?
Okay. We only on three because I'm running out here. Well, I'll go ahead and do.
Me too.
Do one of mine. It was Samwell. And, you know, I think I'm picking all the feel good moments here. I'm not sure, but I really enjoyed seeing Sam not only stand up to Janos Slynt, but to speak so eloquently and honestly about why Jon should be Lord Commander. You know, words are Samwell's thing, and man, did he use them well. And that quote that you put at the top of the show was just perfect. It was funny, and it was touching, and go Samwell.
Well, and it was really so cool. It came right on the heels of him learning that John was going to be turning down, not just losing his status as bastard and being legitimized as a Stark, but turning down the lordship of Winterfell. I mean, if that does not tell you about the character of a man or a person, mm-hmm. pardon me, nothing will. So I think that is really what Sam was reacting to, was you guys are jackasses. You have a man sitting right here with mm-hmm. one of the strongest characters of any of you thieves and rapers and all the other horrible things you people are. Here is a man who turned down a lordship because of his oath.
And who they turn to in their darkest hour.
And when the night is darkest, that is who they turn to. Absolutely. And, exactly. You know, it was a great speech. And I think Sam, I keep wanting to say Sam Wise, but that's Lord of the Rings. Samwell Tarly. That was great. It was very well done. It was just perfect, you know. And I loved seeing Gilly being taught by Shireen.
Yeah.
That was fantastic, cute. Just to bring all that up as well. There's another person dealing with identity, right? Poor little Shireen. And then you got Selyse. What a nightmare that woman is. Oh, my Lord. She is awful.
And Gilly, too, really, who's illiterate, trying to learn how to read and be in this different world south of the wall.
Yeah. Oh, Gilly's wonderful. I love Gilly. Yeah,
I like her, too. And, you know, for Sam, having Jon Snow as the leader is also going to benefit him, because if he wants Gilly to stick around, he has a much better chance of having her stay there at the wall with him, with Jon Snow in there, the head of things.
You know, honestly, I think Sam is such a noble and decent little dude that I don't even think he thought of that. I think for him, it's just Jon Snow's the right guy. You know,
probably true.
He so believes in Jon Snow that I think, you know, and you got to think back to the battles that they've had and what he's done and what Sam laid out for everybody. You know, Jon really is that, you know, when you think hero, it's him. By the way, I got to throw this out there. Did you guys all watch Seth Meyers? The little skit with
Jon Snow at the dinner party?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, did you guys talk about it last week or not? I don't know if you did or not.
No.
Yeah.
You didn't. Okay. I didn't think so. No, I don't think you did. I think it was
we didn't talk about it. No. And it wasn't Seth Meyer. It was Jimmy Fallon.
No, it was Seth Meyer, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay.
I think so. We'll get corrected on this, I'm sure. We'll take a look and one of us will be wrong.
Jon Snow at a dinner party.
Beheaded. Jon Snow at a dinner party was amazing.
Winter is coming.
It is so funny, John, to think, like, if you were to place these people in our world, how out of place they would be. But I loved it when he actually went through the whole pantomime of the whole story. You know, and that just kind of went through and everybody's like, wow, with rapt attention. If people look that up, it is one of the funniest little clips I've seen in a while.
It's fantastic.
I kind of like ignored it for a couple of days. I'm like, more fan shit. I'll get around to it. And then I saw it. I'm like, oh my God, that's great. There's so much out there. It's hard to like pick and choose. Like,
You'll have to put a link in the show notes. So it was really worth watching.
Yep.
Oh God, that's more work. Okay, fine. No kidding. No, absolutely. Where are we at here? You just gave your number three, right? So I guess we're on to my number three, which was Arya's Adventures in Braavos. We've already talked about that. Karen, what is your number two?
Actually, this is my last one because we've kind of touched on a bunch of mine. So I'll give you my very last one, which is my very favorite. And maybe I'll have to rethink this now that there's some other road trip buddies adventures coming up with Bronn and Jaime. But my current two favorite road trip buddies are Tyrion and Varys. And Their adventures in a really cool looking box. I mean, it's not a box, but it is a box. It's awesome.
It's a box. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're being, you know, they have to be sort of kept undercover. And Tyrion makes the point to Varys, how many dwarves are there in the world? Cut
thump
to to the other dwarf that, you know, kind of sort of looked like a little bit like Tyrion, but Cersei's like, nope, that ain't him.
Oh, you gotta wonder how many dwarves are just like shivering in their little boots, terrified of the fact that, you know, they've got the queen
mother coming
after them.
They should have had one that totally didn't look even one bit like him.
Should have been a black woman. So not Tyrion Lannister.
No, this is not him. Jesus. Yeah, I loved it. I love their little back and forth. Varys and Tyrion is so great when he talks about how Cersei is offering a lordship to anyone who will bring the imp's head. He replies and says that she should offer her best part. And the best part of her for the best part of me.
See you next Tuesday. Indeed.
Anyway,
it's kind of hard saying that about your sister, though, you know.
Oh, but come on. Look at who his sister is. He knows the deal with her. There's not like a big mystery there. She is a horrible human being. Come on. Let's enter cheekbones. Yeah.
He complimented her cheekbones once.
Well, he said, what, your love of your children and your cheekbones?
Those and your cheekbones. Yeah. Sweet.
And I don't remember the exact quote, but when she was presented the wrong head and they were like, you know, should we imprison the guys or whatever? And she's like, no, you know, she didn't want to dissuade any other hunters out there.
Yeah.
She doesn't even care. They can kill, you know, 50 innocent people for all she cares. That was awful. She's an awful, awful person.
I got to say, I do have a slight beef with the Varys Tyrion conversation in that I felt like we already had that same conversation last week.
Sure.
And it was just sort of like, all right, let's just show Tyrion because everybody loves Tyrion. But what I found funny was, you know, the show used to be a master of sex position, right? Where they give you a bunch of exposition while looking at some sex and some play with her ass comments. In this one, it's now becoming like, what, is this dwarf position? Is that what we're getting? Where we're getting exposition, but from Tyrion all the time. That was a little weird. So I felt that was a little bit shoehorned, only in the sense of like, all right, let's show them on their journey. Let's show Tyrion drinking and being a total mess. People like to see that, you know. I don't feel we gleaned too much more out of that. Other than Varys just really hammering the point home of, no, you are a good politician. I've seen what you can do.
Yeah.
Yes, people lost
and
lives.
And we also, I guess they didn't need to show Tyrion for that, but we also did learn about the whole, you know, hunting the
dwarf.
For him.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we didn't need to. You could have cut that entire thing with Varys and Tyrion in.
Sure.
And given us another 5 minutes of Arya, and I would have been much happier.
I don't know. Brienne.
You know, I mean, there were so many other ways, things we could have done. That just seemed a little, all right, here we are, on the road.
Yeah, I see where you're coming again. From.
Do, 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 you know. a little weird, but that's okay. Grace, what was your number two?
Okay, we are way into my notes by this point.
Oh, me too. It's okay.
So I have one little thing that we haven't mentioned yet because it's so little, but Lila Mormont, her reply back to Stannis.
Oh, that was amazing. Yes.
Bear Island knows no king but the king of the north, whose name is Stark. And just to know she was 10 years old,
I was gonna
and to
say,
see that
yeah.
in that 10-year-old writing, that was so awesome.
That was Lila. Such a nod to us book readers. That's really what that was. Because
really?
Yeah, yes, because that was from a 10-year-old. There's a bit more of a setup to it in the book than that. But that was great to read that. And you got to love the fact that the Northerners are loyal to the Starks. This is something Karen and other show watchers may not fully understand is how long the Starks have been leading the North. And what a difficult thing it is to lead the people of the North, because when you have the harsh winters that they have, they are the ones that have it the most harsh.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Starks have always been there.
Yeah.
And they've been good. No, that's the key right there. They've been good.
Yeah. Ned Stark was a good guy.
Not just Ned, but the whole family, you know, for thousands of years. We're not even talking a couple generations, thousands of years. So the fact that, you know, the North remembers.
And how great was Jon Snow's little smirk when he saw that?
That was awesome. And I like the way he explained it, too, to Stannis. You know, he's like, my apologies. But, you know, he compared the Northerners to the wildlings. You know, they're loyal to their own.
Yeah. Right.
That was a great one.
You know, and you got to love the fact that Jon Snow, again, was offered that lordship of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his honor made it so he could not do that. You know, that fucking emo little dude. Oh, my God. Come on, man. Really? What are you thinking? But Now he's Lord Commander. He is the 998th Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
Wow.
Very awesome. Are we on to my number two?
Yep.
Brienne, moving on. Karen, you're number one.
I'm done. I've given you everything.
So back to you.
You're done too?
Mm-hmm.
Mine was Jon Snow becoming Lord Commander. That was absolutely my number one. I thought that entire scene was fantastic from the beginning with his conversation with Stannis all the way to him becoming Lord Commander. I loved it. I thought that was the absolute highlight of this episode. Dragons notwithstanding. I mean, all of it. I mean, Arya, look, I love Arya. And you know, I feel like this episode was very, it was tight.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like for all, you know, the show always bounces all over the place, but I feel like it did not bounce around as much as it did last episode. We got a little more focus. You know, there was some, and maybe that was that, like I was mentioning about identity. Maybe that really was the theme and the real focus of this. And just for good measure, I really have to throw out there how much I miss the Hound.
Oh.
No, I really do. I miss, as far as road trips and buddy road trips go, I still feel the Arya and the Hound were my favorite companions.
Oh, I've got a little note on the Hound.
Bring
later
it.
On.
Oh, bring, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Later on. Okay.
Well, why don't we go ahead and move on to phase, or I'm sorry, do we have any notes? I think we've bled out
we
everything
did it,
on this. Yeah. Grace, do you have anything?
No, I went through mine, you know, and you mentioned my other ones. Arya's prayer list getting awfully short these days, and Uncle Kevin giving Cersei a piece of his mind. So I think we touched on all my notes.
Yeah, and the only one I really had that went beyond anything I was covering was about Dany. That, you know, there's some good stuff going on with Dany there. Karen, yours are exhausted as well, right?
Yep.
Let's go ahead and move on to Facebook comments. What do you say?
Okay.
Cool. First one comes from Adrian Montagner, Montagnier, perhaps?
Montagnier.
Sorry if I slaughter your names. Running a liberated state ain't easy. This episode was so fantastic. Production mastery. Sansa, like, F you, lady. Arya speaking Braavos language like she's on Rosetta Stone. Jon Snow being elected prez. Great ep.
Jerry Gomez said, Cersei certainly knows how to get ahead in the game.
Janelle Curtis writes, Arya's storyline has me on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to see where her storyline is going to lead. Brienne is such a freaking badass. God, yeah, she really is.
Mike Belisario says, how cool it was to see Jaqen H'ghar or no one.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bianca Vargas says, do you think all the people in Dorne speak that way because of Pedro Pascal's portrayal of Oberyn Martell?
They are in Spain. By the way, Bianca, hey, how you doing? I met her at Walker Stalker Con in San Francisco, and it was really nice to meet her. So she even sent us a few pictures of her meeting me and Jason, and so it was really sweet. So hi, Bianca.
Aw, great. Jason Weaver wrote, so Daenerys beheads Let me try that again. Woo. So Daenerys beheads Mosandor for presumably killing to make the point that everybody deserves a trial and nobody has the right to be judge and jury by themselves. But she never gave him a trial. So by beheading him, didn't she do exactly what she was trying to make the point that you're not supposed to do?
And in response to that, Olivia Deck says, eye for an eye. He admitted killing the harpy, and for that, he pays with his life. She had 163 slave masters crucified for the 163 slave children they crucified. Also, absolutely loved Sam's roast of Janice Slint for hiding like a coward.
Nick Poblocki said, Janos and the wife of Stannis top my list of people I want to see meet a bad end. Bad, bad end.
God.
No joke.
Evan Brookman, hey Evan Brookman, writes, so many good storylines being played with in this show, many of which were synonymous with life and leadership. Apparently, the quote in this version comes from Jax Teller via Sons of Anarchy, it ain't easy being king. The meaningful demands of leadership are always difficult. They almost always leave someone on the outside looking in because pleasing all the people all the time is impossible. Good luck working that out, Danny.
You know, for some reason, that makes me think of Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1. Did you guys see that one?
Uh-huh.
When he's the king and during the French Revolution where he keeps like grabbing somebody's ass or somebody's boobs and he just turns to the camera and says, it's good to be the king.
And apparently it ain't easy.
No, I guess it's not easy. And it, you know, in the end, let's face it, he got beheaded. So in the French Revolution. Next one is from Anthony Farnsworth. Happy to see Drogon, even though he's acting like a loner jerk face. Going through that angry teenager phase. I was expecting him to set a part of the city on fire on the way he left. Or on fire the way he left. That's what I was thinking too. Oh, well. Maybe soon we'll get to see the bad boys light shit on fire.
Jason Kabasi said, so cool seeing Dr. Julian Bashir, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
AKA Alexander Siddig, back on screen again. One of my favorites from the great Deep Space Nine, and I thought he was fantastic as Doran Martell.
Very
nice. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason. Doing? We miss you, usurped you and beheaded you, and now I'm sitting on your throne. Although I think he'll be back next week. You know,
Greece is sitting on the throne.
No. Okay. She might be. All right. Look, why don't we go ahead and take a quick little break, and then we're going to come back with news about Game of Thrones. What do you guys say?
Very good.
Awesome. Okay, welcome back. And Karen, I think you might have some news for us.
Yeah, but it's been kind of a slow week in Lake Throne Begone. Oh. According to Variety, the initial airing of the show from last week, so that was the season premiere, was watched by 8 million viewers, which is up 1.16 million, 17%. From last year's record premiere of 6.84 million. So up from last year's 8 million, from last this year, 6.84 million last year.
Look, that is really impressive considering this is a fantasy series. I mean, granted, Lord of the Rings broke down some walls with regards to that, but you know, as I'm sure David will be able to attest to, or even Jason, you know. Being a lover of fantasy or sci-fi, you know, back in the day was a very lonely proposition. Now I get to go to work and the so-called cool people, I'm making air quotes, even they're on board with this. And it's like, really? You're into D&D now, huh? You know, it's like, all right, cool. That is amazing that people.
Yeah, I think another thing that makes it so impressive is that it's not an easy show to keep up with. You have to do some thinking. Yeah. A lot of characters to keep track of.
Oh, even like settings. Even, you know, you can go online and find all these infographics and charts about, you know, who's died, who's doing what, who's gone where. Even those are fucking confusing. It's like, yes. Oh my God, I can't follow yes. all these people.
It's a lot of information.
And I will yeah. say, Karen, you know, really try to read those books because, I mean, you read the first one, but it's mm-hmm. like keeping track of everything. You need a study guide to go along with this.
Oh no, we brought up last week that yes, even right, yeah. George R. R. Martin has a guy who keeps track of all the characters. There's over 1,000 characters now in the series.
Who else did? Wow. J.K. Rowling had a had somebody in her employ who was her continuity expert because she could not remember certain things. So she had wow. to have them sit there and go, no, you can't do that because so-and-so said this in book two, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
And I can't, you know, that must have been an easy job compared to whoever it is Jar Jar Martin has
a to super
do
fan.
That for him. Oh, no kidding. You yeah. have to be.
He has just a super fan who keeps track of this for him. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Yeah. And they go on to say this pattern mirrors that of another cable genre hit, The Walking Dead, which also has consistently broken its own audience records year after year.
Yeah, so, but nobody watches that.
It's pretty amazing. The audience really is growing, but it's sort of funny though. Even with those giant numbers, and those are really unbelievably giant, when you look at those compared to the regular network shows,
yeah,
the regular funny. Network shows are pulling in the big numbers.
Well, and then you know, you got to go back, you know, we can get into this. I mean, you go back to the 50s, you know, the kind of the birth of TV, you had 50 million people watching one show.
Right.
Like The Honeymooners or I Love Lucy. That shit had 50 million, not shit, it's great stuff, but it had yeah. 50 million
viewers.
It's because
there wasn't a lot of choices back then.
Exactly. You got a choice of two channels and there was right. nothing else on. I mean, of course. So it's interesting to see the way that these numbers and the way that we watch is changing so dramatically. I mean, I forget what the number for the series finale of MASH was. It is a stupid number with more zeros than you care to look at. It's just like, right. you've got to be kidding me. And I mean, yeah. I was one of those, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I was a Nielsen family for a little while. Even.
Were you really?
Yeah, yeah, we got you to be a box? Nielsen family. No, we didn't have a box. This is going way back.
You self-reported.
Yes, you had to write down everything. Yes. You know, then
in the
send
little
it
journal.
In the little journal. That's exactly that's awesome. What we did. I don't think they liked our results, or my parents said it wasn't worth it, or I don't know. We stopped doing it. But there are only so many reruns of Gilligan's Island and Three's Company I could sit there writing down. But yeah, and that's kind of amazing, the numbers. And that's a huge amount of people. So it's very cool. I'm glad to see that it is increasing. You know, and unlike The Walking Dead, which has had some, you know, maybe some shaky moments, some shaky seasons, three showrunners, you know.
Yeah.
This is the one show, or one of the shows. There have been a few. Breaking Bad is one of them, and I'm sure there are plenty of others out there that I don't want to say. Well, no, I think I can say it has remained extraordinarily consistent through its five yep. seasons.
Yeah.
Production value has been pretty much top notch the whole time. Same showrunners, same vision, same actor. I can't say same actors. We've had a few changes
just
of actors.
Just about.
Not quite as solid as some other shows have been on that, but really just the mountain who keeps switching.
Well, we got a new Maricela, or is that how you pronounce
yeah, the
her name?
Kids, a new Tommen.
Yeah, she grows up, though. Rickon. I mean, that's understandable.
It you is.
Know? You want her to look different.
Is that a new Maricela?
She's older.
Yeah.
Okay, it is. I wasn't 100% sure on that. So cool. Any other news items?
Yeah, I've got one last little bit that's kind of funny. So it was kind of a slow news week, but I did find a Where Are They Now story, which I just love. Basically dead cast members and one that's not so dead. And what they're doing now. So I thought this was great. So if you miss any of our beloved dead cast members. And
Sean Bean,
quite
what's he up to? What's Sean Bean up to? So we all
yeah,
know.
I will tell you what Sean Bean is up to. I mean, you could pretty much just throw out a name and I'll tell you exactly what he's up to. So Ned Stark, Sean Bean, was one of the first Starks to go to the other side, but he has not been forgotten, neither on the series nor in real life. He is currently starring in the TNT series Legend, as Martin Odom, an FBI agent who is something of a shapeshifter. He is also filming a movie, Christ the Lord, out of Egypt, based on the Anne Rice book about the early life of Jesus Christ. What, so that's Ned Stark.
There's a lot of words in that sentence that sounded really weird to me. And one of those, two of those are Anne Rice.
I know, right?
I know, yeah. She got all religious and
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
His wife, Catelyn Stark, whose untimely demise during the Red Wedding, we all mourned. Michelle Fairley, mm-hmm, picked up two series almost back to back, 24, Live Another Day, where she played assassin Margot, and Resurrection, where she played Margaret Langston, a spooky woman who returned from the dead in a town where such rebounds have become commonplace. Next up for the Irish actress, a role in Ron Howard's Moby Dick drama, In the Heart of the Sea.
Interesting. Huh.
And like Catelyn, Robb Stark met his demise at the Red Wedding. Who didn't? Richard Madden has since been seen as Prince Charming in this year's remake of Cinderella, starring Lily James. He will next be seen in the British miniseries Lady Chatterley's Lover, based on the steamy romantic classic by D.H. Lawrence.
Really?
He will play the lover, not
He's
Lady
gonna
Chatterley.
He's going to be the gardener. Wasn't he the gardener? Or he was the gardener, wasn't it? The lover?
The lover? You know, I never read Lady Chatterley's Lover.
I believe Chatterley's, but yes.
Chatterley's.
I never read it either, but I yeah, cool.
Yeah. Dirty Tywin Dance. Lannister. After suffering After suffering the most ignominious death possible on the can, Charles Dance left the Game of Thrones with his dignity mostly intact. This spring, he will be seen in the movie Child 44, which stars Tom Hardy as a military policeman who investigates the series of child murders in Stalin-era Russia. He starts production on the movie Me Before You, about the relationship between a small-town girl and a recently paralyzed man, opposite his Game co-star Emilia Clarke Daenerys this year.
Very cool.
Nice.
And finally,
go on.
I have two more, which are fabulous. Few actors had a more memorable Thrones death than Pedro Pascal, a.k.a. Prince Oberyn Martell. He fell at the hands of the Mountain, who crushed his head. Pascal's karmic reward was the role in the forthcoming Netflix series Narcos, about the notorious drug lord Pablo Escobar.
Nice.
Isn't that cool? Ooh,
very cool. Yes.
And finally, Sandor Clegane, a.k.a. The Hound, met his untimely end last year. Rory McCann's next series is the BBC's Banished, about British convicts who have been sent to Australia as punishment for their crimes.
Very nice.
And that's cool.
Finally, I don't know if you've been watching any of the BBC shows that are on these days, but I have.
Is it Orphan Black?
No.
I haven't seen Orphan Black, actually. I keep hearing how great it is.
I saw the first episode.
Well,
it was good.
The only reason I bring it up is because I was catching up on the season 2 finale just like 2 nights ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Dario Naharis. I had forgotten that, or I didn't make the connection. He plays Cal on Orphan Black.
Oh my God, cool. That's fantastic.
We didn't get to see his fine tattoo.
Fabio Dario or New Dario?
No. New Dario.
Okay, cool.
And then I saw an ad for Ripper Street coming to BBC. And guess who stars in Ripper Street? Presumably about Jack the Ripper. Bronn.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought that was
speaking of actors who are in the show who are doing something else, I mean, if you're going to bring that up, I mean, Emilia Clarke, Danny.
Yeah.
She's going to be the new Sarah Connor in Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, that's a big role.
That's
a big
role.
To be the new Sarah Connor. So you got to fill Linda Hamilton's shoes. Good luck with that one. I hope she can pull it off. You know, I mean, I really do. Because I love looking at her.
I believe she can.
I believe she can, too. I'm with you on that one. Well, fantastic, Karen. Thank you so much for the news. I think we're ready to hit and get some Ravens calls. I see a Raven coming. Here it comes. And it's got some letters for us. Oh, there it is. Grace, why don't you go ahead and read us the first email?
Okay. I wanted to say before we started that since we have a lot of new listeners, that if you write in but don't care to have your full name read on the podcast, just add first name only, please, to your email. Otherwise, we typically include first and last name. But then you have the first one.
I most certainly do. And it's from Nick Poblocki. And if you don't want your last name slaughtered, say first name only, please. This episode was all about leading. An absentee king in King's Landing. Stannis struggling to gain control. Dany losing her grip. Doran Martell and his struggle to keep his cool after losing his brother. And of course, Jon being named the new Lord Commander. This has really shown us what makes a great leader. No self-appointed king or queen can rule. It takes a person of strong self-worth and duty, yet humble enough to turn down power, to actually handle power. Jon Snow has become the face of all that is good in this world, able to make peace with his enemies, able to lead when the night is the darkest. My fear is that Jon may be next on the death list. Every good leader ends up meeting their maker, Ned, Rob, Renly, even Mance, who had noble intentions of just saving his people, all end up losing their lives. I hope Jon is able to influence all who voted against him and show this world that something good can, sometimes good can win. My feeling is Dany is going to fail and everything she has worked for is going to fall apart because of this. Robb Stark made the same mistakes when he had one of his captains killed for the exact same reason. I think she will lose the Unsullied, lose her advisors, and she will have nothing left but her dragons. The end game has to be her getting to Westeros. In no way will that happen if she is successful in the East. These events will destroy her, and she will have to rebuild herself and finally go west. Also, another note is how this episode references real-life events. Go back to season 3 in its finale, the savior from the West, destroying the evil rulers and being hailed as a liberator. She comes in and changes things fast, and in the meantime, this new insurgent doesn't respect or care to learn about what that place is, their customs or their beliefs. And what happens? A new threat arises. They know what the threat is, but they don't know who the threat is. Could be anyone. Exactly what's happening in Iraq and the Middle East with the rising of ISIS and other fanatical groups. Now, what do you do? If you fall into their game of executing people, you become the same evil you are trying to defeat. Dany is in a catch-22. No matter what she does at this point, the people she freed are going to turn on her.
Ah. Ooh, dark.
That's kind of heavy, Nick.
Dark.
Damn, dude.
Dark.
Damn. Yeah. Go, Nick. That's you. Your thought about this shit, man. Way to go.
Thought is maybe. You're right.
Maybe. Thanks, Nick. Our next one is from James. This episode felt like it was longer than an hour. With the exception of Bran/Hodor/Mira, I think we touched on every major character. I was surprised that the election for Lord Commander went as quick as it did, but I can understand why they wouldn't want to draw it out. The main point of feedback I have isn't about this episode in particular, but rather about the series as a whole. The subject of good and evil. About 1% of the people we've seen are truly, wholly good, such as Ned Stark. About 1% of the people are truly evil, such as Joffrey. The rest of the people are in between. Just about every character is a mix of good and bad. If that's true for the men of this universe, then the same must be true of the gods of this universe. We know that, to some degree, the Lord of the Light is legit. We've seen Melisandre giving birth to a shadow assassin baby, and we've seen that Thoros of Myr can bring Bedric... Thoros of Myr can bring Bedric Dorndon back to life. Melisandre says...
Well,
go ahead.
No, okay. Hold on. I gotta say, that is the one thing about R'hllor, the god of light, that is impressive. He is the one god that's actually, like, done shit. And as he points out, I mean, not only does... You know, Thoros of Myr can bring Beric Dondarrion back, but it's, yeah, we saw the shadow baby. I mean, Brienne was not lying. That shadow did fucking kill Renly.
The war is real.
We saw being born. So did Davos with that horrible look of, oh my fucking God, what am I seeing here?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give it up to R'hllor, man. That's impressive. I'm sorry, I derailed you. Go on.
Melisandre says there are only two gods, the Lord of Light and the other guy whose name they're not supposed to say. Voldemort, I guess? It seems that neither of these gods are truly good nor evil themselves. Sure, the Lord of Light can bring people back from the dead, but Melisandre says it's her god's will that people should burn statues of the seven gods and that they burn certain people alive. It doesn't seem to me like that's a god set on doing good. It could just be people's interpretation of what their god wants. You know, many a terrible thing has been done in the name of religion, I must say. The two main recurring themes in this show are ice and fire. Who's to say that the Lord of Light and Team Fire are the good guys? And who's to say that the White Walkers and Team Ice are the bad guys? I have a feeling we'll decide in the end that both sides are somewhere in between. Sincerely, James from Portland. Ooh, thanks, James.
Well, it is the saga of ice and fire, not one or the other. So
it is.
Who could bring ice and fire together?
I think that the White Walkers, I think we can go ahead and say that probably the White Walkers aren't good. I think we could all maybe agree on that. Hello, anybody? Just like zombies? Do you think zombies are good?
White Walkers are not zombies. They create the whites.
Yeah.
But they're not zombies.
Which aren't that good.
There's
nothing good there.
As somebody who has a...
They're brainless, so they don't really... They don't have an agenda.
The whites, yeah.
Don't they?
As somebody who genuinely despises the cold, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. No. I'm all about fire. I'm cool with that. The tropics. Dorne looks much better than Winterfell. That's all I'm saying.
Why would anyone live anywhere but Dorne? And you know, I wouldn't live in King's Landing. Too much drama. I'd go live in Dorne.
I'm guessing the rent and the home prices are probably really high in Dorne.
They probably are. You're right.
So. I think that might be it. I think you can get a really
cheap
house.
They seem so relaxed over there.
Winterfell.
That's true.
Whatever.
Well, at least Doran, he looks really relaxed. I mean, he looks like he's on opiates of some sort or another, just kind of sitting back going,
Yes. Well, he is in a wheelchair.
So that doesn't mean you can't be hyper, but he's pretty mellow. Calculating.
Well, maybe he's paralyzed. We don't know.
Because Oberyn did not look very mellow.
Maybe he doesn't need to be in a wheelchair, but he's so relaxed, he just chooses to wheel around.
Oh my God, I think I've just seen my future. That sounds wonderful. I'm even going to go one step further and get an electric and just cruise around. It's like a Segway, right? It's like, I've given up. I'm on a Segway. Fuck it. Walking's for losers, man.
Sucka.
And why does everybody riding a Segway seem to be the one that needs to be walking the most?
That's a fair question.
They are fun to ride, and we're totally on a tangent.
They are fun to ride.
Have you guys ridden a Segway?
Yes, I have.
Only once in a museum.
I have on a tour. It was fun. Super fun. Like way more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Oh my God. They're really, really, really fun.
I'm a sucker. I'm like walking with my feet. That's lame. I need a Segway. Okay, Karen, next letter, please.
All right. The next one comes from Jillian Arthur, who writes, "Hi, this week's Game of Microphone hosts. Hello. I've written in a couple of times for the Walking Dead cast, and this is the first time writing in for Game of Microphones. I love y'all. Well, we love you too, baby. Here are a few of my highlights for the episode. One, Cersei's uncle not putting up with her crap. Somebody needs to stand up to her and not be her puppet, like he said. I was totally rooting for him, but am afraid now that Cersei will do something bad for him for saying that to her, because she's mean like that.
He is family, though, so he does have that in his favor.
Right, exactly. Arya getting a Bravos.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry, because she's been so nice to her family.
But she hasn't killed
Tyrion
any of them.
Is
Has
her
she
brother.
Killed any of them yet?
Tyrion is her brother, Tyrion, and she's trying to kill him. Jaime, she's really pissed off at. I mean, sorry. Go on, Karen.
Arya getting to Braavos, and later the oh snap moment when the old guy from In the House and the Streets turned out to be Jaqen and H'ghar. Yeah, it was so cool. I love how they panned behind Arya, and you could kind of see almost like at the very end something coming off his face. Like, you know, they did that because, of course, they changed actors at that moment. But you could sort of see he pulls something off. So
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, no, they did a great job with that effect. Yeah,
they really did. Brienne and Pod, exciting chase / fighting scene. I had to laugh out loud when she yelled, "Pod, get down!" And then had to say a few minutes later, "You can get up now." Honorable mentions go to Gilly learning how to read. Also, Tyrion and Varys being stuck together in another effing box. I give this episode 4.5 effing boxes out of 5. From Jillian Arthur, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Thank you so much, Jillian. That was fantastic. Really enjoyed that. So that's it for our emails. Grace, it's now time for you and I to sequester Karen into a soundproof box. Get in that box. We're going to shove you in there.
Fine, I'm getting in the box.
Just push your poo out the holes and we'll be good. I'll clean up after you, no problem.
Oh, can't be a soundproof box if there's air holes. What are you talking about?
I'll just put my fingers in my ears and sing la la la.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take another quick break. Karen is going to go ahead and into her box. And Grace, you and I are going to come back with some book talk.
Hey.
Okay, Karen is extremely well secured in her box with, I don't know, air holes or not air holes. We haven't quite decided on that one. I'm voting for air holes. Grace, you mean person. You said to seal it up without a single air hole at all. She's going to suffocate. So let's get through this quickly so Karen does not die. We had a lot of things in this episode that were really different.
Yeah, they're starting to diverge more and more, I think. And I think it's going to continue to go this way this season.
I mean, a lot of the same things had the same flavor, but a lot of the details were different. So what do you have as like one of the first items?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the first things is Sansa certainly never saw Brienne in the books. Peter and Sansa are still at the Vale.
Now, I think the Sansa Peter stuff is beyond book 5.
Yes.
I think this is one of those storylines that is now beyond the books completely, and we are as book readers getting spoiled on ourselves.
As the books are going, I don't think this will ever happen. I don't think Brienne will ever
I don't think so either. And that has to do with, by the way, I guess I should have mentioned, but I'll go ahead and say this again. This is super spoilerville. So if you are not caught up in the books, dude, run away. Really, this is not the place for you. With the absence of Lady Stoneheart, it changes Sansa's storyline, Brienne's storyline completely. You know, and that's going to be a major thing. So as far as the Peter and Sansa stuff, that's just, I don't know if that's even beyond the book or just made up completely.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's just going to be something just totally different that doesn't happen.
Okay, what about the Arya arriving at the House of Black and White? I mean, first of all, she doesn't knock. She just walks in the book.
Okay.
Also, when she meets the kindly man, he's like a really ugly, messed up face, and he's got an actual worm coming out of his eyeball.
Oh.
And Arya reaches up and eats it.
She's hungry, huh?
She's hungry. And basically, the kindly man is like, whoa, nobody's ever done that before.
He was impressed.
and invites her in. So that's you know, a bit different there as well.
And he certainly was never confirmed as Jack and Hagar. I was so shocked to see Jack and very nice.
As far as I am concerned, Jack and Hagar he's at the Citadel. He's the now Pate. That's what I always took that as.
I don't know.
I think that was the beginning of book 5, I believe, where they talk about a faceless man who took over the Pate's role at the Citadel. So I believe that to be Jaqen H'ghar. Also, I believe Jaqen H'ghar was also responsible for Balon Greyjoy's death, which has not even happened in the show yet. You know, so there's a lot of stuff going on with that very different. Alaria with Doran. I'm gonna keep calling him Doran, I think. I don't know how
call
I feel
him
about
Doran.
Doran
That's
thing.
Fine.
Alaria had no desire to go to war. She wanted this to just... I mean, and of course, it wasn't even Alaria speaking with Doran. It was one of Oberyn's children. I forget which one at this point. But very, very different that Alaria is calling for war. They were trying to just avoid bloodshed at any cost at this point.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing in the TV show that I think kind of doesn't make sense, because she was there, so she... knows that the Red Viper, you know, that Oberyn had a choice. He didn't have to be Tyrion's, what do they call it?
Champion.
You know, that was his thing. And she saw him getting all big ego and...
Well, that's just it. He got cocky, man.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So her fury didn't make all as much sense to me.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they just wanted a connection from a face we recognize from Dorne.
I think that had
in this
a major
show,
thing to do with
in this episode.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. And speaking of Dorne, dude, Jaime and Bronn do not go down to Dorne. That's Aerys Okart, right? And we know how that ends up with Aerys Okart. So
Okart is already there, but then Sir Balon goes with and presents the mountain's skull to Doran.
Yes. And I'm assuming that's what Jaime and Bronn are going to possibly do, or maybe not. I don't know. But there was no threat to Cersei. There was no viper with Marcella's necklace. I mean, all this is... The show is kind of trumping up this drama where the book did not have this drama exist. Now, Aerys Okart, he's killed by Darkstar. Do you think Bronn or Jaime are going to end up dead?
Probably Bronn.
I'm thinking this is Bronn's undoing right here, because in the show, in the book,
he marries Lawless and...
He marries Lawless. That's all fine and dandy, and his story is kind of over in the book.
Yeah, it kind of fizzles out.
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking he's going to end up dying by a Darkstar.
Which, that'll be cool. He gets to go out, you know, in a blaze of glory like he should. Since
no,
that's
absolutely.
Kind of more his character.
Because, you know, Jaime had actually been dealt, he had been sent off to the Riverlands to go deal with the fallout from the war. So that is completely different from the book.
Completely different, yes.
Completely different. I mean, and then you got things like, you know, Kevin's role in the small council, and the small council being very different. I mean, that is not the same people in the small council at all.
I can't even remember who it was, really.
If it was not for the internet,
started,
I wouldn't remember either.
Because she started replacing it with her people.
Yes.
But I can't remember what it was at that point.
Well, I mean, Tywin had already said that Cersei was supposed to go to Casterly Rocks. So there's a whole lot of differences in there. The small council was totally different. And then you get into Dany and all of her thing. Dany does not see Drogon on the pyramid. Also, Mosador, whatever the fuck his name is. I can't pronounce this kid's name. He doesn't kill a son of the Harpy. He's killed by the Sons of the Harpy.
Yeah. And in the book, he was actually Missandei's brother. He was one of the Unsullied. Yeah. He wasn't a freed slave.
This whole thing, how does the revolt and Meereen kind of happen? Is it the same? I can't remember this, to be perfectly honest. Does she behead somebody?
I don't remember there being a...
I don't remember this at all either.
Huge revolt.
I'm not sure.
You know, I remember the part where, the
All of the Yunkai, all the people from Yunkai and the other town that she freed, they all start storming Marine, right? I don't remember so much of an insurgency.
It's going down really, really
within.
Different. Yeah.
It really is. So that's a whole other thing. Then you get into Jon Snow. The election for Lord Commander takes a lot longer. It happens in multiple steps. Sam actually does a little bit of political maneuvering away from that room. You know, he does this
thing. Yes, a lot more cunning on Sam's part.
Also, by the time he does win, there are other people at play in the election. There's like four or five different people. And also, Alistair Thorne kind of backs out fairly early in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
John ends up winning with like 2/3 of the vote, not this wonderful one vote tip over by Aemon Targaryen. However, at the same time, I loved that one vote tip over.
Yes, that was fun Aemon to watch. Targaryen.
So that was a great change. I thought that was really well done. You know, a lot of things very different in that one. Can you think of anything else from the book that
really big?
Now, we've been focusing on the things that are different. What about some of the things that are the same? I know, I'm stretching too. I'm not sure if there is anything that really
went. Yeah, in this episode, there's not a ton, except for, you know, really Arya arriving in Braavos and going to the House of Black and White. That's the main similarity.
Yeah. Now, and of course, you know, I got to say this. As a book reader and a show watcher and one who loves both, I am not bothered by the changes they make for the show because of the difference in media.
Oh, yeah. And, they have to cut a ton out.
Well, they really do. And all of these changes, they all tended to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of them. I mean, specifically, things like Jaime and Bronn going to Dorne, that sounds awesome. I am looking forward to
yes,
that. And there are certain things. You know, maybe some of the Arya stuff could have been. I wanted her to eat the worm. I didn't really want it to be Jaqen H'ghar. That just seemed too easy to me.
I was just so excited to see the actor again. I was good with it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was really pretty cool. And as far as anything with Dorne goes, I think it works. You know, and I mm-hmm. can't wait to meet the Sand Snakes and see how that's going to play out. You know, one of the Sand Snakes is actually. Keisha Castle Hughes, who was in Whale Rider, and she played Mary, the son of the mother of Jesus, in some other movie. I can't remember what it was, but so that'll be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to meeting the Sand Snakes. You sounded like you had something else you wanted.
Well,
to
yeah. Now I was just curious. I was going to ask you. Do you know they mentioned Doran's son Tristain, but do you think they're going to cut out Adrian and Quentin? Do you think they're
I think they
are. Not in existence?
Yes. Okay. I think they're cutting out a lot of people. They're cutting out a lot of things, especially as we get into books 4 and 5. They are trimming this stuff up a lot. And I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with the Sparrows and how this is going to go down with Cersei mm-hmm. and Margaery. I mean, because they've cut out the Kettle Blacks.
I don't remember the Kettle Blacks.
The Kettle Blacks are the
the brothers that... Yeah.
Cersei's fucking. So that's one of the big deals. Yeah. That's why she's brought up on charges is the fact that she's doing this, you know, so.
Well, because she lies. She tries to set up Margaery. And that was one of the things I was saying last week when I was all by my lonesome. By the way, I'm so glad to have you here. That was very odd just talking to myself. But with Margaery's comment to her brother about perhaps, it really made me think that she is going to have. Play more of a direct role in Cersei's arrest. So we'll
Margaery.
See.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
And you know, Cersei made a comment. What does she say? Her fucking smirk. Oh, that fucking smirking face or whatever she said about Margaery. Mm-hmm. I think the show has done a very good job of positioning these two as being diametrically opposed. So, you know, sure, the details are lacking. But the general concept is there. And I am curious how it is Margaery is going to set this up against Cersei without the Kettle Blacks being there. So there's a lot to cover. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Well, we do have the one letter. You want to go ahead and read that?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, certainly. I missed that. Let's see. This comes from Sean Bussler. I'm a new book reader. I've read through all of the books while the show is in hiatus. Now I feel what the book readers were feeling while the seasons 1-4 were playing. I feel the show is taking shortcuts through the source material and adding scenes for what I hope add to the show. Why would Brienne meet up with Littlefinger? Why is Davos at the Wall? I don't think Chicken Hagar was ever confirmed as the kindly old man, was he? But still, left me wanting more. Thanks, Sean Bussler.
Thanks, Sean. We probably should have read that at the top.
We really should have read that at the top. Our apologies. Yeah, now you are feeling what we felt through seasons 1-4, but, you know, all I have to say in the defense of the show is you have to forgive the changes that they are making. Because absolutely, if you were to try to recreate the books, completely and genuinely on the show, it would be a 30-season show. I mean, it would take 4 seasons to get through one goddamn book. It would be just ridiculous. Very slow, very plodding, a lot of eating of pigeon pies and lamprey pies and all these other sort of things. I get it. And I'm okay with it. How about
you? Far as, you know, Davos being at the Wall, you know, I think they're just trying to keep some of the characters in the episodes. And
well, and some of the side stories too. I think they're just foregoing some of the side stories. Davos, that's a bit of a bigger deal. I'm surprised he's there. Maybe they're going to send him off, a little bit later. We'll find out.
Yeah, but we'll see.
And as far as Chicken Hagar, I think they just want us, you know, similar to Ilaria being in Dorne, talking to Doran. God damn it. I think we just wanted to see a familiar face.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really was what that was about, was this will engender trust from Arya. And that's what they're looking for. So,
well, very good.
Do you have anything else you want to mention about the book?
Nope. You?
No, I think we're good. So why don't we go ahead and let Karen out of her box?
Okay.
All right, we're back. And Karen, we're going to go ahead and let you out of your box. Click, 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 click. Get you out of that lock there. What do you got for us next week, Karen?
Thanks for letting me out of that smelly, smelly box.
Well, you shouldn't have pooed in there while you were in there. It's your fault.
Where else am I going to go? Next week on Game of Thrones Season 5, Episode 3, the title is High Sparrow. And the description they give is, in Braavos, Arya sees the many-faced god. In King's Landing, Queen Margaery enjoys her new husband, Tyrion. Tyrion and Varys walk the long bridge of Volantis. And it's directed by Mark Mylod. So that doesn't give us, I mean, it gives us some information about what's coming up next week.
A little bit, yeah.
Margaery enjoys her new husband. They got married.
She's enjoying him? Ew.
How old is he?
Not old enough to be enjoying Margaery.
Right now he should be enjoying Sir Pounce. Sir Pounce. And only Sir Pounce.
All right. Look, I'm going to tell you guys the truth. I'm the stand-in for little Tommen. I'm enjoying Margaery in the next episode. And I enjoyed her greatly. No, obviously that's not true. Sadly.
You wish.
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right. That's next week on Game of Thrones.
Very good. All right. You guys ready to close this whole thing out?
Yeah, let's do it.
If you would like to leave a voicemail, you can call us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-Joffrey.
If you would like to write in, you can email us at game@podcastica.com.
You can check out our website at gameofmicrophones.com.
We're also on Twitter at Podcastica and on Facebook at facebook.com/podcastica.
I'm sure many of you guys are familiar with The Walking Dead cast with Jason and Karen, but if you would like to hear more from me and Mr. Blog, check out Under the Comic Covers, where each week we review our favorite creator-owned comics like The Walking Dead, Saga, Chew, Sex Criminals, and many more. So be sure to check out our growing network at podcastica.com.
Join us next week for Game of Thrones Season 5, Episode 3, High Sparrow, with hosts Jason, Mr. Blog, and Grace.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
If Tyrion's head is his best part, and we all know what Cersei's is, what's your best body part?
No Jack and Hagar here.
There isn't. A man is not Jack and Hagar.
Well, who are you then?
No one. And that is who Hagar must become.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.